Chapter 48, The Crusades, Part 2. Does God Will It? This first great crusade under command of Godfrey of Bouillon was not the last. As we have already told you, Jerusalem was conquered during that expedition. However, Godfrey of Bouillon firmly refused to wear the king's crown. Nevertheless, his successors did permit themselves to be called king. The kingdom of Jerusalem did not have it easy. The Turks tried unceasingly to recapture that territory. When conditions in the Far East became too perilous, then a new crusade was undertaken. Altogether, at least 7 crusades are counted. Yet in reality, there have been many more. The Crusades have been a series of failures. They have lasted almost 200 years. To tell all about this? Why, no, that cannot be done. We shall discuss only a few of the most important events with each other. For the protection of the small kingdom of Jerusalem, several additional small Christian states were founded in the East. They could support each other in the many difficulties. The name of the most northern state was Edessa. In 1144, Edessa was reconquered by the Seljuks. That was very dangerous for Jerusalem. That kingdom lost one of its most important points of support. When the tiding of that reached Western Europe, a terrible commotion was caused thereby in these countries. Crusade preachers traveled again through the countries. Again, thousands of people made themselves ready for the expedition to the Holy Land. Thus, a second crusade was started. German and French knights, with their subordinates, besides a great number of others, marched to war. They would quickly reconquer Edessa. However, that did not go as easy as they had imagined. On the contrary, they did not succeed in that. That second crusade turned out to be a total failure. However, thousands of precious human lives were lost again. In the meantime, the knights that had remained in the East were waging a desperate war against the intrusive Turks. In 1187, Jerusalem was conquered by the Egyptian Sultan Saladin. The brave defenders of Jerusalem were permitted by Saladin to leave freely. They were even carried in ships to the Italian city of Venice. But Saladin would no longer tolerate any pilgrims in Jerusalem. The Christian churches were changed into Mohammedan churches, and the other holy places of the Christians were trampled and trod upon by the Turks. The indignation which this caused in Europe was great. No, but that could not be tolerated. A change had to be brought about in that. They had no intention to resign themselves to that. Again, a crusade was being preached. 3 powerful rulers prepared themselves for that expedition. The Emperor of Germany would go overland with his army. The kings of England and France would go oversea with their armies. In that way, Palestine would be attacked from 2 sides at the same time. They did not doubt but this expedition would be successful. Everything was arranged and prepared to the last detail. This crusade was especially an expedition of knights who wanted to avenge the former defeats. And what was the end of that well-prepared expedition? Also, this third great crusade was a complete failure. The Emperor of Germany drowned in a little river which flowed through Asia Minor. By that, the army lost its excellent commander in a pitiful way. The kings of England and France, who made that journey by sea, constantly quarreled with each other, and at times opposed each other formidably. By that, they did not achieve very much. Jerusalem remained in the hands of the Turks. Again, all trouble and efforts had been in vain. The important main object had not been achieved. Thus I could continue for some time. For us people of this time, it is inconceivable that time after time, in spite of all disappointments, thousands upon thousands of people, both knights and citizens, stood ready to again travel to the land of Canaan. But then the times were altogether different than now. By so doing, they imagined that they performed a good work. Had not the Pope promised a full remission of sins to all that marched along? Many hoped to merit heaven thereby. Besides, severe famines prevailed in various places. Terrible pestilences stalked about and took many victims. Entire regions were ravaged by terrible floods, whereby thousands drowned. The people saw the approach of God's last judgment therein. In any event, God's judgments weighed heavy upon Europe. Now they tried to stave off those judgments by going on a crusade. They imagined that this would help. Somewhere in France, a shepherd boy wanders over the fields. He tends a flock of sheep. In that way, he does not have to perform hard labor, and he has much leisure time at his disposal. That young shepherd boy is a dreamy boy. Therefore, almost the entire day, he does nothing else but think and dream. One day, he comes home with a wonderful story. The Lord Jesus had appeared to him, and he has commanded and revealed to him that the children must undertake a crusade, and then it would be successful. Had not the Lord Jesus himself said, "Let the children come unto me"? Well, then, the children must go on a crusade. That which was unsuccessful to the heavily armed knights and hundreds of thousands of brave soldiers shall succeed with the children. Naturally, that has to succeed, for it is the will of God, and if God wills it, then he shall also provide for everything. God himself shall march along to war and frighten the enemy. It is self-evident that that wonderful story of that plain shepherd boy was also believed. In those days, everything was believed. Thus, by renewal, a crusade is preached, this time to the children. This appeal was answered. Thousands and thousands of children, boys and girls, from 8 to 15 years, make themselves ready. Poor little ones, who leave their parental home, never to return to it again. Foolish parents, who gave their consent to that. At last the procession departs. First they go to Marseilles, the large French mercantile seaport in the south of France on the Mediterranean Sea. From there they shall try to go over sea to reach the Holy Land. God shall provide, shall he not? And really, it seemed as if they were right, because they are very successful. Just at the time when that multitude of children arrive there, seven large ships are lying ready in the harbor to sail away. Now, really, it could not be nicer. The captains speak very friendly and act very piously. These children must go to Jerusalem. Fine. That surely can be regulated. Without charge, they shall just take those children to Palestine. Of course, it is for a good cause, is it not? At the same time, the children embark. The sooner the better. Many pilgrims also go at the same time. Then they can pray again upon the sepulchre of Jesus, because no one doubts of success. The ropes are loosened, and the seven ships, crammed with children, leave the harbor of Marseilles. Cheerfully, the little waves playfully ripple against the ships. Soon they have disappeared out of sight. Yet the voyage does not turn out as successful as they had at first thought it would. On the way, a violent storm arises. Two ships are lost. All those that are on board, small and great, find their graves in the waves. The five other ships get through it. The captains sail with their precious cargo straight to Egypt. To Egypt? But that is wrong. They did not have to be there at all. They have nothing to do in Egypt. Their destination is Palestine. Indeed, that is also the real intention. But those captains are unscrupulous scoundrels. Although they acted and spoke piously, yet that was only pretext. It was only feigned piety of them. When they finally sail into an Egyptian harbor, then those thousands of defenseless children are delivered up to the Turks. These grin falsely and carry their spoil to the slave market, where those poor children are sold as slaves. They have never seen their native country again. They never returned to their parental home. Poor things. But who is able to describe the suffering and misery of those children? What has become of all those children? There is one who knows. After they have unloaded their cargo, those five ships put to sea again. With a false smile upon their lips, those captains stare at the slowly disappearing coast. What do they care about the grief of those children? But the judge of heaven and earth shall take vengeance upon that atrocity which has been committed there. Those vile villains who have shamefully abused the trust which those little ones had in them shall receive their recompense. That French group had a sad end. I write purposely that French group because about the same time we see the same thing happen in Germany. Also in Germany, a large group of children make themselves ready to go to the Holy Land. There also they have the same foolishness as in France. In Germany, a certain Nicholas, a baker's son, is the leader. There also thousands of children listen to the foolish summons to go to war against the Turkish infidels. Behold, there they go on their way. Full of courage and sure of a good issue, they ascend the German mountains. Meanwhile, winter sets in. Storms howl over the tops of the mountains. Frigid snowstorms blind the eyes of the children. Because of the fierce cold, thousands succumb on the way. Hundreds are smashed to pieces in the yawning abyss. Eventually, a small group reaches the city of Mainz, And happily, the Bishop of Mainz is so sensible as to forbid the remaining children to go any further. First, they are lovingly provided for, and after that, they are brought back to their parental home. But also, the majority of these groups never returned. They perished miserably in the wild, inhospitable mountains of Germany. After these foolish children's crusades, various expeditions have followed. William I, a Dutch count, undertook a crusade with Dutchmen and Frisians. He made the journey by sea and departed from Holland in 1218. Hence that was 6 years after the children's crusade. On his way, the King of Portugal asked for his help against the Moors, who tried to conquer Portugal. Before he traveled any further, the Dutch count decided to assist the Portuguese. He disembarked his army in the Portuguese harbor, and really, he succeeded to inflict a terrible defeat upon the Turks or Moors. They were expelled from Portugal. After that, William embarked again with his army and sailed to Egypt. Say, that was not his object, was it? The object was the conquering of the Holy Land and the liberation of Jerusalem, was it not? Yes, that is true. But time after time, the Egyptian sultans dispatched forces to Palestine to help the Seljuks at that place. And now, Count William thought, if I am successful in conquering Egypt, then the Egyptian sultans can no longer send soldiers to Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem must fall as a matter of course. That was not such a foolish idea, was it? He dropped the anchors before the very strong Egyptian port of Demetia. According to some writers, in those days, Demetia was a city of more than 87,000 inhabitants. Besides, Demetia was strong, very strong, almost impregnable. On both sides of the entrance to the harbor stood two strong towers. Heavy chains were stretched between those towers and completely obstructed the entrance, so that it was not possible to sail into the harbor. First, those towers had to be taken, and only after that they could remove those chains. They have fought desperately for the possession of those towers. Thousands of crusaders and Egyptians were killed in that bloody struggle. Yet, slowly on, the Egyptians were forced back. The Egyptian sultan, having been driven in a corner, offered Jerusalem to Count William and a part of the land of Canaan. But then he must raise the siege of Demetia. William refused. Finally, in 1219, after months of fighting, Demetia fell into the hands of the crusaders. Yet also this crusade did not have much effect, because 2 years later the Sultan of Egypt succeeded in reconquering the city and to drive the crusaders out of it. Whoever has the opportunity to visit Haarlem should take a look in the large church at Haarlem. Some small ships and clocks hang there in memory of that glorious expedition of Count William I to Demetia. However, these clocks, called Little Demetians, do not come from Demetia itself, but have been made by a coppersmith in Haarlem. He gave them as a present to that church. Go and look sometime, then you can see them. Such a memento is really nice. Louis, a king of France, has also undertaken several crusades. However, neither did these expeditions succeed. In the meantime, the struggle in Palestine raged undiminished. The Crusaders lost one city after another. In 1291, the city of Acre, and the last stronghold of the Crusaders, was reconquered by the Turks, and after that, no more Crusades have been undertaken. They lasted almost 200 years. Millions of people have found death by that. Some tell us that the Crusades have cost the lives of 10 million people. God wills it. God wills it. Thus the cry had resounded in the great assembly at Clermont, wherewith the former chapter began. That cry had been silenced for a long time already. They had expected and reckoned on it that God would march to the war with them. But that did not happen. Failure had followed upon failure. At last the question arose in the hearts of thousands of people. Does God really will it? Is it really true that God wills it? And then we must answer, no, God did not will it. To be sure, nothing happens outside of God's providence. The golden thread of God's reign also runs through this history. The Almighty has permitted it. The Creator of heaven and earth has reached his object with that, but that was an altogether different object than was expected in the beginning. Considering the Crusades in itself, then they have been purely the work of man. The Pope has promoted and encouraged those expeditions for his own benefit. He thought to better himself thereby. He hoped that those expeditions would be profitable to him. For that reason, he was a supporter of them. And the Crusaders themselves. Ah, undoubtedly there have been Crusaders who really and sincerely meant it. But thousands and ten thousands had their own design with that. The knights wanted to obtain honor and fame by it. Waging war and fighting was something they liked best. Others wanted to experience thrilling adventures. Others again did it to obtain much spoil and hope to return as a rich man. The slaves went along to obtain their liberty thereby. Farmers and tradesmen hoped for the reduction of debts and taxes. Thus we see that perhaps most of them had their own honor and profit in view. The cry, God wills it, was then absolutely not true, and from that point of view the Crusades must be positively disapproved of. Viewed from that angle, they therefore have failed completely, because Jerusalem and the Holy Land remained in the hands of the Turks. But again, the reign of God continues. Also from this history it is clearly evident that God has governed them to the fulfilling of his eternal counsel, because